So today we are very fortunate to have His Grace Adhikadada Prabhuji on the call. Thank you so much for giving your valuable association, Prabhuji. Dandavat Pranam and Nalgurish to Srila Prabhupada. You can take over the call, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Mataji. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam. We will be studying two verses today. Canto 4th, Chapter 4th, verse number 25 and 26. Verse number 25. Kritva samana vanilajitasana sodhanamurthapyachana pichakrataha shanayaridhisthapyadhiyorasisthitam kantha bhruvormadhyamanindhitanayat. Word to word. Kritva, after placing, samanau, in equilibrium, anilau, the prana and apana, airs, jita, asana, having controlled the sitting posture, sa, sati, udanam, the life air, utthapya, raising, cha, and nabhi chakratah, at the circle in the navel, shanaya, gradually, riddhi, in the heart, sthapya, placing, dhiya, with the intelligence, purasi, towards the pulmonary passage, sthitam, having been placed, kanthat, through the throat, bhruvo, of the eyebrows, madhyam, to the middle, anindita, the blameless sati, anayat, raised. Translation and purports by His Divine Grace Abhay Charana Aravinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. First of all, she sat in the required sitting posture, and then she carried the life air upwards and placed it in the position of equilibrium near the navel. Then she raised her life air mixed with intelligence to the heart and then gradually towards the pulmonary passage and from there to between her eyebrows. Purport. The yogic process is to control the air passing within the body at different places called Shat Chakra, the six circles of air circulation. The air is raised from the abdomen to the navel, from the navel to the heart, from the heart to the throat, from the throat to between the eyebrows, and from between the eyebrows to the top of the cerebrum. That is the sum and substance of practicing yoga. Before practicing the real yoga system, one has to practice the sitting postures because this helps in the breathing exercises which control the airs going upwards and downwards. This is a great technique which one has to practice to attain the highest professional stage of yoga. But such practice is not meant for this age. No one in this age can attain the perfectional stage of such yoga. But people indulge in practicing sitting postures, which is more or less a gymnastic process. By such bodily gymnastics, one may develop good circulation and may therefore keep one's body fit. But if one simply restricts oneself to that gymnastic process, one cannot attain the highest perfectional stage. The yoga process, as described in the Keshav Shruti, prescribes how one can control his living force according to his desire and transmigrate from one body to another or from one place to another. In other words, yoga practice is not meant to keep the body fit. Any transcendental process of spiritual realization automatically helps one to keep the body fit, for it is the spirit soul that keeps the body always fresh. As soon as the spirit soul is out of the body, the material body immediately begins to decompose. Any spiritual process keeps the body fit without separate endeavor. But if one takes it that the ultimate aim of yoga is to maintain the body, then he is mistaken. The real perfection of yoga is elevation of the soul to a higher position or the liberation of the soul from material entanglement. Some yogis try to elevate the soul to higher planetary systems where the standard of life is different from that of this planet and where the material comforts, lifespan, and other facilities for self-realization are greater. And some yogis endeavor to elevate the soul to the spiritual world, the spiritual Vaikuntha planets. The bhakti yoga process directly elevates the soul to the spiritual planets, where life is eternally blissful and full of knowledge. Therefore, bhakti yoga is considered to be the greatest of all yoga systems. To invoke the blessings of our acharyas and to invoke auspiciousness, we will chant Mangalacharan prayers. We will discuss this verse, the different points that Srila Prabhupada is mentioning, and then we will try to go to the next verse.
Om Adhyanatimirandhasya Jnananjanashalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajata Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitinamine Namaste Saraswata Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripasindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gauratise Namaha Pancha Tattvatmakam Krishnam Bhakta Rupa Swarupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktakhyam Namami Bhakta Shaktikam हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगतपते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचना गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानु सुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिय। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवास आदि गौर भक्त वृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे।
हरे कृष्णा। I would like to very sincerely, in a very humble spirit, offer my respectful obeisances at the lotus feet of all the devotees, all of you devotees who are listening. Please accept my humble obeisances. I also beg all of you to please bless me. Although I am very unqualified because of my lust, my anger, my greed, my pride, my envy, and my illusion, which is born out of my false ego. Because of all these disqualifications, because I am spiritually lazy, I tend to become complacent. I don't have my priorities right. Just a total failure. So many disqualifications, totally disqualified. But still, with as much little sincerity that I can muster, I beg all of you. Because you are all very compassionate, very merciful devotees, and because you are all very enthusiastic to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, I beg all of you to please bless me. Please bless me so that due to your blessings, due to your prayers, for the next few minutes, I may become empowered, although disqualified. But devotees are like Kalpavruksha, Vancha Kalpataru, desire trees. By your blessings, by your prayers, I may become empowered for the next few minutes to speak a little bit on Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the Amala Puran, Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam. Just for a few minutes, I may become empowered to speak on Srimad Bhagavatam in such a way that anyone who hears, including myself, because I am preaching to myself, I am also speaking to myself for my own purification. Anyone who hears, by the power of Guru and Gauranga, may our hearts become purified, and may all our hearts unitedly in harmony with cooperation become attracted to the lotus feet of Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. When we say Sri Guru, we don't mean any particular guru. No, we don't want guru groupism. When we say guru, we refer to all our Shiksha Gurus. We refer to our Diksha Gurus. We refer to Nityananda Prabhu, who is our Guru. We refer to our Srila Prabhupada, Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, who is the preeminent Shiksha Guru for all the ISKCON members, all the devotees in ISKCON. We refer to all the Gurus in our Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. We refer to all the Gurus and all the bona fide Vaishnava Sampradayas and their branches. We refer to Balramji, who is the Adi Guru. So Guru refers to all these great personalities. And Gauranga is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna Nahi Anya. So Gauranga means Gauranga Mahaprabhu, who is Radha and Krishna. So in Guru and Gauranga, everything is included. Everything is included. So let our hearts become purified by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, by reading Srimad Bhagavatam, and by discussing Srimad Bhagavatam in Parampara. And with purified hearts, let us offer our hearts at the lotus feet of Guru and Gauranga. Today, right now. Because who knows how much time we have left in this body. So this is a very, very instructive section of Srimad Bhagavatam. Like the entire Srimad Bhagavatam, there is so much to speak, so much to discuss. But I do not have the required sincerity and realization to speak. But whatever points come to our mind, by the mercy of Hari Guru and Vaishnavas, we will try to speak. So the next verse we will try to discuss, after we discuss this verse. In this particular verse, the points that we would like to discuss is, we can see that Mother Sati is already well versed in the yogic process. That yogic process, which the yogis practice for many, 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 many years, many, many decades, in isolated places in the Himalayas, and then finally they achieve perfection in them. All that yogic power, all those yogic processes were already perfected by Mother Sati. And there are many reasons for this. One is that she is herself a very exalted, very elevated soul. Number two, she is born to a great king, a great Prajapati like Daksha. And thirdly, she is the better half. She is the beloved wife of Lord Shiva, who also is called Yogeshwar, Lord of the Yogis. So she knew this process of how to elevate the life air from the abdomen to the navel, to the heart, to the throat, and then to the top of the head, between the eyebrows. So Srila Prabhupada explains that the yogis are so powerful that they have a choice to give up their body whenever they want. We are so much afraid that, oh, this disease will kill us, this cancer will kill us, heart attack may come at any time, a stroke may strike at any time and kill us. We are so afraid. But these yogis, they are, by the power of the yogic process, they are so much in control that they can even control their death. At a suitable time, in a suitable way, in a holy place, with proper consciousness, they can give up their body. We don't have that power. So these are very, very elevated souls. And Srila Prabhupada describes this process. This process was known to Srila Prabhupada, therefore he is able to explain it to us. He describes and then Prabhupada writes in this purport, but this is not the process recommended for the current age. This is very important. You see, in Mahabharata, there is a story where when the Pandavas, the five brothers along with their beloved wife, Srimati Draupadi Devi, they were living in the forest. One day Bhim was feeling great regret that this Draupadi, she is born from fire. Such an exalted birth. From birth, she is such a great devotee of Krishna. She is such a chaste wife to all of us. She has so many good qualities. But because of her association with us, she had to suffer so much. She was humiliated. An attempt was made to strip her naked in a public place in front of 100 lusty brothers, in front of the senior members of the Kuru dynasty, in front of the male servants who were serving in the palace. Is Draupadi, who was completely protected, ordinary men could not even look at her when she was living in the kingdom of Drupad Maharaj, as the beloved daughter of Maharaj Drupad. She was always surrounded by her female friends, female servants, always protected in the palace, always shielded from the lusty eyes of men. And then in the Asat Sabha, in the Kuru Sabha, an attempt was made to humiliate her so bad just because of her association with us. Bhim was thinking like this. And now she has to live in the forest. She has to sleep on the ground. So much austerity. No servants to assist her. So much difficulty. So much pain. All because of us. So Bhim was feeling very guilty. And by the arrangement of Krishna, just at that very moment when Bhim was thinking like this, with the breeze, a very beautiful lotus flower came and fell into the lap of Draupadi. And this lotus was not an ordinary lotus. This lotus had 1,000 petals. And it had a very, very sweet, very pleasing fragrance. Draupadi had never seen such a lotus. So Draupadi developed a desire that I should have more lotus flowers like this so that I can use it in my puja, I can use it in my seva to Krishna. See, the Pandavas are pure devotees. Pure devotees. So she developed a desire that wherever this lotus came from, there must be more lotuses. And I would love to use these lotuses in my bhajan, in my seva. So Bhim, being a very loving, very protective husband, he immediately understood the heart of Draupadi. And he told her, just wait here. Wait here under the protection of Yudhishthir Maharaj and your other husbands. I will quickly go and trace the place from where this lotus came. And I will bring you more such lotuses. Bhim thought, this is the least he could do for Draupadi Devi. She was suffering so much. She had suffered so much. The least I can do to bring a smile on her face is to get her more such lotus flowers. So Bhim went up the Himalayas trying to find the place where this lotus came from. It's a very beautiful and long pastime, but I will cut it short. While he was going, he came across a monkey who appeared very frail, very old, very weak, and his long tail was lying across the path on which Bhim was running. Bhim was running through the forest to find the place, the lake, from where this lotus came from. And when he saw this monkey with his tail going across his path, he very proudly, very arrogantly ordered the monkey, "Hey, monkey, move your tail away. It's on my path." Because see, Bhim was a very cultured person. He knew the etiquette that one should never step over somebody. One should never cross over somebody. Can anyone unmute the phone and tell why in our Vedic Sanskriti, why in our Vedic culture, if somebody is lying down, somebody is sleeping, we never walk over them, we never step over them, we never cross over them? Does anyone know?
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Yes, Komodaki Mataji.
It shortens the lifespan of the person, that's why. The one who is about to, not when the person who is going to do it, overstep it, but the one who is there, lying or sitting or whatever. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Yes, Mataji, you're right. That is one reason. And another reason is, in every living entity, along with the individual Jivatma, the spirit soul, also lives Krishna, Shirodakshai Vishnu, in the form of Paramatma. There is Paramatma in everyone's heart. So it is the Vedic culture that, out of respect, we don't cross over anybody. Because each and every body is a living temple of Lord Vishnu. So Bhim knew this etiquette, he knew this culture, and he told that monkey, "Please move your tail away. I cannot step over your tail. You are blocking my path." The old monkey, you all know this pastime, you all know this Leela. The old monkey said, "Oh, I am very old and frail. Please, you go ahead and move my tail." Again, I'm telling this very briefly because this pastime is, I'm narrating it only to make one point. So anyway, there is a discussion between Bhim and that old monkey. And the old monkey says, "I'm very old, I cannot do it. I cannot even move. So please, you move my tail." And then Bhim, very casually, with the tip of his fingers, he tries to pick up that tail and throw it aside. But as he tries to pick up the tail with the tip of his fingers, he's not able to move that tail at all. It's too heavy for him. So he uses his full grip with one hand to pick up the tail, but he's not able to. Then Bhim, he holds that tail with both his mighty arms and tries to pull it up, lift it and put it aside. But again, Bhim, with all his enormous strength, is not able to make the tail of that old monkey budge. The tail just doesn't move. Now Bhim, because he is very intelligent, very cultured, and a very exalted soul, he immediately understood that I am one of the strongest persons on this planet. This is an old monkey, very frail, very weak. And with all my strength, I am not even able to move his tail by 1 centimeter. This cannot be an ordinary being. So immediately Bhim comes to his senses. He folds his hands and in a very humble tone, he addresses that old monkey. He says, I have understood that you have come here to teach me something. I have understood that you are not what you appear to be. I have understood that you are not just an ordinary old monkey. Vanar, please tell me who you are. Are you some demigod? Are you some very powerful mystic yogi who has taken the form of this old monkey? Are you a Siddha Purush? Are you a Gandharva? Who are you? Please reveal your identity to me. And then pleased with Bhim's request, pleased with his humility, the Vanar gets up. You see, this term Vanar is very interesting. It's a Sanskrit word made up of two words, Va and Nara. Va means, it's a question mark, whether or, you know, what, or is it really va, like naro va kunjaro, like that, is the man Ashwathama or the kunjara, the elephant Ashwathama, you know, like that, naro va kunjaro, like that, or kim va dayalu, who can be as merciful as you. So va means like a question. Is it really or what? Or whether? And Nara means a human. Nara means human. So Vanar means, is it really a human? That is the meaning of Vanar. Because sometimes the guru is called Vanar. The spiritual master is called Vanar. Why? Sounds crazy, right? We think Vanar means monkey. So why are we calling the spiritual master Vanar? The spiritual master is called Vanar for glorification. How is that? The spiritual master is a Nar. The spiritual master is a human. But the spiritual master is also Sakshadhari Tvena Samasta Shastre Ruktastatha Bhavyateva Sabhir Kintu Prabhurya Priya Evatasya Vande Guru Shri Charanaravindam. The Guru is also Sakshadhari. That is the conclusion of all the revealed scriptures. Because he's so dear to Krishna. He's so devoted to Krishna. So the spiritual master is a human being, just like us. But is he really a human? Vanara? Really? Is he really just a human being? No, he's superhuman. Sakshadhari. Because he's so dear to Krishna. He's so devoted to Krishna. Therefore, in that sense, a spiritual master is also called Vanar. Is he really a human? On the other hand, the monkeys, they are also quite similar to humans. They also use their hands a lot to pick up things and eat. Their face also appears a little bit like human beings. Especially the apes. They can also, you know, stand on two legs like us. So, they are called Vanar because they appear like humans a little bit. But are they really humans? No, they are not. They are a different species. So, Vanar. like that. So Bhim also could not recognize this Vanar, the true identity of this Vanar. He thought he was an ordinary old monkey. But then the apparently ordinary old monkey revealed his identity to Bhim. And he said, "My dear Bhim, actually I am your brother, your older brother. I am the son of Vayu, Hanuman." Because Bhim also was the son of Vayu. And Bhim was in ecstasy. And then Bhim, again I'm telling this pastime, it's a very beautiful pastime. I'm telling it very briefly. So Bhim requests Hanumanji, "I have read the Ramayana so many times. I have heard narrations of Ramayana so many times. Please, 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 Hanumanji, reveal to me that great form which you had assumed in South India when you climbed up on Mount Mahendra and you jumped from the southern tip of India into Lanka." What a description it is in Ramayana. I have heard it, read it so many times. Hanumanji, please show me that form which you had assumed in Treta Yuga when you jumped from India, Bharat, to Lanka. Please, I wish to see that form. And what Hanumanji replies is why I am narrating this whole pastime to all of you. Srila Prabhupada mentions in this purport that this yogic process, Ashtanga Yoga, this Dhyana Yoga, this is not the process for the current age and time. So when Bhim requests Hanumanji to show him that form which he had assumed in Treta Yuga, when he jumped from Bharat into Lanka, Hanumanji tells Bhim, "My dear Bhim, the times have changed. Now we are thousands of years later. Thousands and thousands of years have elapsed. Thousands and thousands of years have passed. Now we are at the very end of Dwapar Yuga. Whereas that form that you are asking to see, I had assumed it in Treta Yuga, thousands and thousands of years ago. Over these years, everything has become small. The trees have become small. The human beings have become small. The vanar has become small. Everything has become small. So to assume that form which was suitable for Treta Yuga would not be appropriate in this end of Dwapar Yuga. Therefore, I will not assume that form. And I will only assume a much smaller form so that you can see." And then Hanumanji begins to expand himself. And he assumes a form way bigger than the Himalayan mountains where he was with Bhim. And Bhim got scared seeing that form. But this form was much smaller than the form that Hanumanji had originally assumed in Ramayana. And then again Hanumanji, after satisfying Bhim, he shrunk down to a size suitable for Bhim. And Bhim was in ecstasy, seeing his elder brother, seeing the power and might of Hanumanji. It was much, much greater than his own strength and much greater than any strength that he had seen in this world. But just see the maryada of the devotee of Maryada Purushottam, Hanumanji. He respected time and age. He did not assume the form which was suitable for Treta Yuga in Dwapar Yuga, although he was requested to. Although he would have been so much glorified in Mahabharata by doing that. Although Bhim would have been so much more impressed with that form. But no, Hanumanji was not after distinction and personal glory. Not at all. And then Hanumanji asks him, Bhim asks Hanumanji, Hanumanji, you are so strong. In fact, there is no limit to your strength by the mercy of Sri Ram. Then why is it that you simply found Mother Sita and came back as Ramdut, as a messenger of Lord Ram? Why did you not immediately rescue Mother Sita? Why did you not immediately kill that wicked Ravan? Why did you not immediately kill his wicked son Indrajit and all other Rakshasas like Kumbhakaran? You could have single-handedly killed all of them and come back, but you did not do it. Again, Hanumanji responds, my dear Bhim, if I wanted, I could have single-handedly killed Ravan, Kumbhakar and Indrajit, all the Rakshasas, and I could have placed Mother Sita on my palm and I could have brought her to Lord Ram. Or, if I wanted to, after having found Mother Sita, I could have picked up the entire island of Lanka and brought it to Bharatvarsh in front of Lord Ram, just like I picked up the whole mountain when I had to get the Sanjeevani herb. I could have done that. But all that would have not contributed to the glory of Lord Ram. Because Lord Ram had vowed to kill Ravan himself. Therefore, I did not do that. Otherwise, it would have been Maryada Vyatikram. I would have stepped beyond my boundaries. I would have stepped on Lord Ramchandra's toes. It is never good. It is never a good thing to do for a disciple to disobey the orders of the spiritual master. We were reading the 10 offenses. The third offense is, or the fourth offense is, the third offense is to disobey the orders of the spiritual master. Guru Avagya. Very, very serious offense. Very serious offense. Very much related to our today's Leela that we are discussing in Srimad Bhagavatam about Sati and Daksha and Shivji. We'll come to that. But Hanumanji was so sensitive to his maryada, was so sensitive to how much to do, how much not to do, that he did not overstep beyond his boundaries. And then Bhim requested him, please, a great war is going to happen in the near future. Please bless us, and please support us in this great war. Hanumanji said, it would not be proper for me to participate in this war, because then the war will be over in less than an hour. I belong to Lord Ram. It will not be proper to fight in this war. But I will grant you this benediction. On the chariot of my Lord Sri Ram, who has come as Sri Krishna, I will sit as a protector. And every time Bhim, every time you utter your war cry, I will also give my war cry. I will merge my war cry into your war cry. And together, our war cry will be so tumultuous. It will be so loud. It would be such a loud roar that it will shatter the hearts of the Kauravas. Actually, it is mentioned that at the peak of certain battles, when Bhim would give his war cry, Hanumanji would merge his war cry into Bhim's war cry. And it was so terrifying that a lot of soldiers used to have accidents. Accidents means bowel and bladder accidents. They would urinate and pass stool out of fear. They would lose control over their sphincters. Such was the power of that war cry. Even elephants and horses would have incontinence just hearing the war cry. This was Hanumanji's contribution. This was Hanumanji's contribution. But the point I'm trying to make is just see how cognizant Hanumanji was about the maryada. how sensitive and how careful he was not to cross the maryada. How sensitive he was, how careful he was to observe the etiquette of time. What was suitable in Treta Yuga, he refused to do it in Dwapar Yuga. Well, a very important lesson for all of us. This is a very important lesson. And that is what Prabhupada is saying, that for this age, trying to do this Hatha Yoga, Ashtanga Yoga, this Dhyana Yoga, it is not suitable. We don't have the ability, we don't have the time to attain perfection in these systems of yoga. What is that verse from Srimad Bhagavatam? Krite adhyayato Vishnum tretayam yajato makhay dvapare paricharyayam kalauta harikirtana. That krite means satya yoga. In satya yoga, the result that we got by meditating on Lord Vishnu, krite adhyayato, dhyayato means to meditate, dhyayato Vishnum, tretayam yajato makhay. And in treta yoga, by doing yajna, what result was obtained? Dvapare paricharyayam. In Dvapar Yuga, offering service to the Archa Vigraha, deity worship, what result was obtained? That same result you can obtain. Kalau tad. Tad means that same. Kalau means Kali Yuga. Kalau tad. Hari Kirtana. That same result you can get by doing Hari Kirtan. Very, very beautiful. Very instructive. So I hope this point is clear. And in the last sentence, Srila Prabhupada gives a lot of hope. He says, the bhakti yoga process directly elevates the soul to the spiritual planets where life is eternally blissful and full of knowledge. Therefore, bhakti yoga is considered to be the greatest of all yoga systems. So we have to practice bhakti yoga. And in this age of Kali Yuga, bhakti yoga is most effectively practiced through this Harinam Sankirtan. Harinam Sankirtan. Devotees come together and we do Nam Sankirtan. Even discussing Srimad Bhagavatam together is also Sankirtan. It is also Sankirtan. Krishna Nam, Krishna Katha, they are all, they come under the category of Kirtan. So that is what we learn from this verse. Now let's see, do we have time to go to the next verse? Okay, we still have 10 minutes. So we will discuss the next verse also. Verse number 26. Evam swadeham mahatamahiyasa muhu samaropitamam kamadarat jihasati daksharusha manasvini tadha ragatre shanila nidharanam. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Thus, in order to give up her body, which had been so respectfully and affectionately seated on the lap of Lord Shiva, who is worshipped by great sages and saints, Sati, due to anger towards her father, began to meditate on the fiery air within the body. Purport. Lord Shiva is described herein as the best of all great souls. Although Sati's body was born of Daksha, Lord Shiva used to adore her by sitting her on his lap. This is considered a great token of respect. Thus, Sati's body was not ordinary, but still she decided to give it up because it was the source of unhappiness because of its connection with Daksha. This severe example set by Sati is to be followed. One should be extremely careful about associating with persons who are not respectful to the higher authorities. It is instructed, therefore, in the Vedic literature that one should always be free from the association of atheists and non-devotees and should try to associate with devotees. For by the association of a devotee, one can be elevated to the platform of self-realization. This injunction is stressed in many places in Srimad Bhagavatam. If one wants to be liberated from the clutches of material existence, then one has to associate with great souls. And if one wants to continue one's material existential life, then one may associate with persons who are materialistic. The materialistic way of life is based on sex life. Thus, both becoming addicted to sex life and associating with persons who are addicted to sex life are condemned in the Vedic literature, because such association will simply interfere with one's spiritual progress. However, association with great personalities, devotees who are great souls, will elevate one to the spiritual platform. Sati Devi decided to quit the body she had obtained from Daksha's body, and she wanted to transfer herself to another body so that she might have completely uncontaminated association with Lord Shiva. Of course, it is understood that in her next life, she would take birth as the daughter of Himalayas, Parvati, and then she would again accept Lord Shiva as her husband. Sati and Lord Shiva are eternally related. Even after she changes her body, their relationship is never broken. Hare Krishna. Again, very instructive. Several points. So here Srila Prabhupada is explaining that the relationship of Sati and Lord Shiva is eternal. And when Sati changes her body, that relationship is never broken. This principle is also true for each and every one of us. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructs Sanatana Goswami that Jivera Swarubhaya Krishna Ranitya Das. It is the eternal nature of all of us to be servants of Krishna. We are all devotees of Krishna actually. Some of us realize it, some of us don't. That's all. People who realize it and act with that realization are called devotees. And people who don't are called non-devotees. Prabhupada is explaining we should keep away from non-devotees and atheists, and we should associate with devotees so that our faith, our bhakti becomes nourished. So it is everyone's, all of our nature is to be a devotee of Krishna. We may change our body, we may die, but this relationship never changes. Never changes. Once we are firmly established in this understanding, in this realization that I have a secure relationship with Krishna, I have an eternal relationship with Krishna, I am Krishna's eternal servant, then a certain sense of security comes in our spiritual life. And then we are not after cheap distinction, adoration, and prestige. It's very interesting. Here, Srila Prabhupada mentions that Mother Sati, she meditated on the fiery element, fire element in her body. And then later on we'll see, she quit her body, she gave up her body, and her body was consumed by the fire and transformed into ashes. The body was burnt. She left her body by using fire. And this fire was born out of anger towards her father. Why anger? Because her father, Daksha, had insulted the Lord of Sati's life, Lord Shiva. Let us very quickly analyze the sequence of events that led to Mother Sati giving up her body through fire. We all need fire for survival. In fact, there is fire within our body. That is what keeps our bodies warm. One of the ways we can detect a dead body is the dead body becomes extremely cold. There is no warmth. Because there is a slow combustion going on in our body. Metabolic reactions are going on in our body, which release heat. Exothermic reactions, they release heat. fire. And that's what keeps our bodies warm and functional. So fire is essential. Even to cook, we need fire. To keep our homes warm in the cold winter, we need fire. Fire, we cannot live without fire. We cannot live without fire. Even the houses that we build, they are made up of bricks. These bricks are made from fire. Huge ovens. So fire is absolutely essential. Without sun, without fire, we just cannot survive. Everything will be frozen. So fire is essential, but interestingly, here Sati Devi is also being consumed by fire of anger towards her father Daksha. So let's very quickly analyze the sequence of events. Daksha becomes proud because of his position, his wealth, his knowledge, his beauty, his aristocracy. And Shivaji does not stand up when Daksha enters the Daksha Sabha. And this makes Daksha very angry. And all the 33 crore demigods have stood up. Brahma didn't stand up, that's okay, he's my father. But why is this Shiva not standing up? He's my son-in-law. He's junior to me. So he became angry. He became envious of Shivaji. How can he sit when I'm standing, when I'm walking in? And he starts criticizing Shivaji. Daksha is not satisfied that crores of demigods have stood up. Only one person has not stood up. Daksha could not focus on the good that so many people have stood up. He became tormented by that one person who was not standing up. This is our nature. There are so many good things happening around us. Nice deities are being served in the temple, devotees are doing nice kirtan, nice prasadam is being served, nice festivals are happening. But still we'll notice something bad and we'll not be able to tolerate it. Some mistake, we'll not be able to tolerate it. We'll make a big deal out of it. Something as trivial as, you know, somebody not wearing dhoti kurta for a festival, we'll think that, oh, that devotee is not sincere. Just see, there are millions of people in the city who are not coming for the festival. This devotee has come for the festival. Why not appreciate that? Or somebody doesn't wear a kanti mala and we start criticizing them. Somebody is not chanting their rounds attentively and we start thinking that they are not devotees. Instead of helping them come up, we criticize them. That is what creates fire in the society. But if somebody is doing well and getting a lot of mercy, you become envious of them. That also creates fire of envy. So Daksha became envious of Shivaji, started criticizing Shivaji. He did not communicate. He did not ask Shivaji that, Shivaji, I am bewildered why you did not stand up. Everybody else stood up. Can you please explain why you did not stand up? And elsewhere, Shivaji explains why he did not stand up. He said, I did not stand up because internally, I offered my respects to Daksha. I offered him pranams in my heart. Not only that, I offered pranam to Lord Vishnu, who is living in the heart of Daksha. But I did it mentally, not physically. So communication can save so much. If only Daksha would have revealed his heart to Shivaji, and I'm bewildered. I'm confused why you are not standing up. Can you please explain your position? And Shivaji could have explained. Either he could have explained like this, that I offered you pranams internally, or he could have told that actually I am a guna avatar of Krishna. I'm much more senior and superior to you. But Daksha did not ask. So he missed the point. And then Shivaji just left. Then Daksha, out of his pride, did another sacrifice where everybody was invited. But out of his envy and anger, he did not invite Shivaji. Another mistake. And then Parvati, and then Sati Devi, she had this attachment and longing to go to her father's house for the program, because she would meet all her relatives, all her cousins, all her sisters, her mother, and she wanted to go. Another mistake. When you know certain association is not good, why do you want to go into the fire of that association? Prabhupada is telling us we should avoid contaminating association. But Sati wanted to go there for a certain pleasure that she would have derived, the pleasure of meeting family members, the pleasure of chatting with sisters and cousins and relatives. For that pleasure, she was willing to enter into the fire of contaminating association of Daksha and his followers. But she took permission from Shivji, and Shivji refused to give permission. Shivji said, do not go. You will not be able to tolerate being there because Daksha hates me and you love me. So you will not be able to tolerate his ill treatment. And he will ill treat you, and you will not be able to tolerate that because you are so exalted. For an honorable person to be dishonored is worse than death. Guru Avagya. This is what we are talking about. One of the spiritual masters is Lord Shivji. Vaishnavana Metha Shambhu. Shivji is the spiritual master of all the Vaishnavas. He is the Acharya of one whole Vaishnava Sampradaya, Rudra Sampradaya. So he was Sati Devi's spiritual master, and he told her, don't go. But sometimes it's very difficult to obey the instructions of the spiritual master. And we lack the determination to say no to the temptation of Guru Avagya. We lack the strength to say no to the temptation of going against the instructions of spiritual master. And Parvati went anyway without the permission of Shivji. Another mistake. And then Daksha sees her, and he sees Shivji in his daughter Sati. Because he had a fight with Shivji, he took out his anger on Sati. Another mistake, common mistake that we do. There are two devotees who are friends. We have disagreement and quarrel with one of them. We see the other devotee. Because the other devotee is close to the devotee we have had fight with, we are not able to be nice to the other devotee also. And the fire of envy and disunity just keeps spreading in the devotee community. So Daksha ill-treated Sati. Another mistake. So you see, Sati giving up her body, Mother Sati giving up her body, is not a one-off event. If we analyze, it is a series of mistakes. Series of mistakes. And this is what happens. We have run out of time. But if we analyze our society, if we analyze our congregation, if we analyze our little Bhakti Vruksha groups, if we analyze how misunderstandings and frictions happen, we'll see it is a series of lack of communication, series of wrong assumptions, series of miscommunications, series of mistakes before the thing blows off. Many times it is preventable. And where do we get the intelligence? Where do we get the intelligence to say no to our anarthas? When pride within our heart says, destroy this devotee. When envy in our heart says, destroy this devotee. Or it may not be so blunt as destroy, but neglect this devotee. or just pull this devotee a little bit down in the eyes of other devotees. Whenever such thoughts come, which are born out of envy and ego and anger, where do we get the strength and the intelligence to say no to these things? This strength is given by Krishna and Balaram. Balam Balavatam Chaham. Krishna is the strength of the strong, and Balaram is the one who gives spiritual strength. This strength is given to us by Guru and Krishna, by Guru and Gauranga. But they will give it to us when they are pleased with our efforts. If we please them with our sadhana, if we please them with our bhajan, then they will give us, Guru and Gauranga will give us the intelligence and strength to nip this fire in the bud. Samsara dava nalalidha loka pranaya karunya ghana ghana tvam. Samsara, this whole existence in this material world, even though we may be in a spiritual society, but still we are in the material world. We are influenced by the material elements because we are not that convinced. We are not that dedicated. We are not that surrendered. So we are in the samsara. And Srila Prabhupada has advised us to begin our day, every day, with this line written by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in Sri Guru Devashtakam. Samsara Dava Nala. This samsara is like Dava Nala. Dava means forest, Nala means fire. We are talking about fire. Sati Devi gave up her body in fire. We are all in the fire. Believe it or not, forest fire. What can save us is not anything that we do here. What can save us is the rain that comes from up, Ghana Ghanatva. Krishna is the ocean of mercy. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu. O Krishna, you are the Sindhu, the sea of Karuna, compassion, mercy, grace. And spiritual master is Ghana Ghanatva. Spiritual master is the rain-filled cloud. The rain-filled cloud gets its water from the ocean by evaporation. And the cloud comes to where the forest fire is. And there is a downpour of water. And the fire is doused. The entire forest fire is extinguished when the heavy rain comes from higher up. So the strength and the intelligence to detect our mistakes, to detect our anarthas, and to say no to them, to put our foot down and say no to these mistakes, to these series of mistakes, comes from Guru and Gauranga. And they will do it for us. The rain-filled cloud is there, but it is not pouring the rain. The rain-filled cloud will pour the rain when the cloud of Guru Tattva and the ocean of Krishna Karuna Sindhu are pleased with us, with our bhajan. And Srila Prabhupada, our founder Acharya, has taught us that 99% of our sadhana, our spiritual practice, is our chanting of Hare Krishna Mahamantra on our Tulsi Japamala in the presence of Krishna every day during Brahma Murta. How many of us are doing this? Very important. You see, in the United States schools, if you get more than 90%, you are A grade. More than 80%, B grade. More than 70%, C grade. More than 60%, D grade. And less than 60% is fail, F grade. So if 60% is passing, And 99% of our bhajan is chanting our minimum 16 rounds of Hare Krishna Mahamantra on our Japamala every day. Then, if we are not chanting our japa nicely, attentively, in a prayerful mood, we are not completing 16 rounds during Brahma Murta, and not chanting extra rounds as we get time later in the day, if our japa is not good, and we are doing nice deity worship, we are doing nice bhajans, we are singing nice kirtans, we are cooking nice prasadam, bhoga, we are book distributing, we are distributing books, we are preaching, we are sitting on the Vyasasana, speaking Harikatha, we are doing all sorts of services, we are managing programs, we are leaders, we are doing all sorts of services, which is also part of our sadhana. This is all sadhana bhakti. Deity worship is sadhana bhakti. Studying Srimad Bhagavatam, speaking on Srimad Bhagavatam is also sadhana. It is Shravanam Kirtanam. We are doing all these things, but if we are not doing our japa, which is 99% of our sadhana, then how are we going to get the passing marks, which is 60%? How? Everything else is 1%. Our hearing and chanting japa is not happening properly. We have no hope of passing. We will get 1%. Because we have missed out on the 99. So this strength to say no to temptations, this strength to say no to our anarthas of lust, anger, envy, pride, comes from Krishna. We don't have any strength. Ekakiya amara nahi paya bala hari nama sankirtane bhakti yano thakur. We don't have that strength to do it by ourselves. No. This strength comes from Hari Guru and Vaishnavas. But that will come when they are pleased with our sincerity, with the sincerity of our sadhana. Therefore, if we are fanatic about our 16 rounds, because it is 99% of our sadhana, no matter what programs we have, if we keep that 4 to 6:30 period, or 4:30 to 6:30, or 3 to 5, whatever, it doesn't even take 2 hours, 1 hour 45 minutes. Different people have different things. You know, some people take 2 hours, 5, whatever. But our 16 rounds of Hare Krishna Mahamantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, attentively with a prayer in our heart, the prayer for purification. My dear Guru and Gauranga, please purify me. Please purify these devotees that I am fighting with. Please purify these devotees that I am envious of. Please purify everyone in ISKCON. Please purify everyone outside ISKCON. Please purify all species. Please purify all living and non-living entities. Please purify everyone everywhere. And everything. This prayer for purification is most important. Cheto darpana marjanam. Prabhupada makes us begin our day with samsara dava, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu begins his shikshashtakam with cheto darpana marjanam, because this cheto darpana marjanam is most important. Unless we have purification, we cannot be trinadapi sunichan, we cannot be humble, we cannot be tolerant, we cannot be respectful, amanida manadera. We cannot chant the holy names. We cannot do anything. Then ashlishlava padartam pinashtumam, that is far away. First, we have to extinguish the fire of lust. We have to extinguish the fire of envy towards each other. Fire of anger. Fire of ego. Fire of pride. Pride about chanting Brahma Murta Japa. We can get proud about everything. It's an internal Kurukshetra, my dear friends. Internal Kurukshetra. Krishna consciousness is very sweet. Attaining Krishna is very sweet. But because of our conditionings, our wrong choices, it is not easy. It is simple, but it is not easy. Krishna consciousness is simple, but not easy. That strength comes from Guru and Gauranga. Who will give it to us if they are pleased with our bhajan? Therefore, we have to be fanatic about our japa. We may be doing everything in the eyes of devotees. We are very sincere. Our dhoti kurta is crisp. Our tilak is nice and bold. We have nice short hair with a prominent shikha. Nice three round kanthi mala. We close our eyes and we show that we are in ecstasy during sankirtan, clapping enthusiastically, smiling as if we are in ecstasy. We have attained such a naam ruchi. We can make the whole world believe that we are exalted, deeply realized devotees. We cannot cheat Krishna. Krishna knows our internet browsing history. Krishna knows our deepest thoughts that we have for other devotees. We cannot cheat Krishna. Chaura Graganyam Purusham Namami. We are singing Bilwa Mangal Thakur's Chaurashtakam during Purushottam Mass. Krishna is the greatest thief, greatest cheat. Cannot cheat Krishna. Duryodhan tried, Shakuni tried, Karna tried, Kamsa tried, everyone has tried. We have so many examples. Never do we find anyone having succeeded in the history. Nobody can cheat Krishna. If the ocean refuses to give water, how will we get rain? How will we get the mercy, my dear friends? We are going to burn in the fire without any respite. Please, let us pray. Yajna bhavati parjanya. Rain comes from yajna. Let us do this. Naam sankirtan yajna nicely. Prabhupada says, cooperate. If we cannot cooperate, we are doing the third offense against the holy name, to disobey the orders of the spiritual master, Guru Avagya. What hope do we have? Let us be very serious, my dear friends, in Krishna consciousness. It's a very sweet, happy process. It is the way to the ultimate happiness. But we have to be serious. Purification can be painful, but we need it. This prayer for purification is essential. Praying for devotees with whom we are having fights and disagreements is essential. We exchange angry message with a devotee, we have to pray for him or her. We have to. But we should pray. We should pray for each other. We should pray for ourselves. At this stage, the best prayer is the prayer for purification. Krishna, Guru and Gauranga, please purify me. Please purify everyone. Because when we become purified, then we can become your instruments, we can become your puppets, we can do what you want us to do for your pleasure. That should be our prayer. Today we have the Panihati festival here in the new Panihati Dham, Atlanta. Dahi Chida festival of Raghunath Das Goswami and Nityananda Prabhu. So we have to go now. We don't have time for any questions today. I apologize. But I am very grateful to have your association. Please, please bless me, pray for me, so that I am able to give up my anarthas in the service of Hari Guru and Vaishnavas. Thank you all very much. Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Nitai Gaur Premanandi, Hari Hari Bo. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, thank you, Prashi.
Thank Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Aji Adi Kadadar Das Prabhu, Dhanvat Pranam from Lalitangi Mataji and Vaishali Vinda Gopika Mataji. Such a wonderful class as usual. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev Ki Jai, Koti Koti Dhanvat Pranam to your Seva.
Jai Adi Kadadar Das Prabhu Ki Jai. Hare Krishna.
Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. We can end the call now. Hari Bol.
Hare Krishna.